Well, is it just me, or is it me? I think it's me. This guy is always preaching about light. I feel sorry for the person who only wanders into church every couple months and they're like, I was here on Christmas Eve. Wasn't he talking about light then too? And I was here a couple weeks ago and Jesus was literally transfigured into light. Well, and then we get this stuff today from Luke's gospel. Is it just me, or maybe it's this? I'm not sure. If you look through the Psalms, for example, and just, if you can Google this sometime, how many times the word light appears in the Psalms? You know, today's opening scripture or opening words, gathering words, from Psalm 18 mentioned light two or three times. you probably know Psalm 119, the Lord is, thy word, huh? Do we know it? Yes, thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. So there. Don't make me sing it. They're filled with light. It's like the psalmist sit in darkness and God's light just emerges and they sit in that. And Jesus talks about light a lot. And I'm really drawn. I pulled two different pieces from Luke's gospel. We've been reading Luke in Bible study, and we're exploring Luke throughout Lent in worship. So we're just moving right from Luke 1 all the way through to the crucifixion and resurrection and the final resurrection appearance in Luke 24. So each Sunday, you'll notice we're moving right along through the gospel. So here's a section from 11 and a section from 12, kind of unrelated. But one talks about light and darkness, and the other talks about darkness and what's hidden in the shadows, so to speak. I'm going to reread this one from the light of the body, about the eye. We talked about this in Bible study, you know, is it literally the eye? Because we know people with bad eyes. I spent most of the day yesterday with a woman who was born blind. And I would not say to her, because your eye is messed up, there must be darkness in your body, right? I wouldn't say that. But I would say this, listen to it this way. No one after lighting a lamp puts it in a cellar, but on the lampstand so that those who enter may see the light. Your source of perception, okay, I'm using that instead of I. Your source of perception is the lamp for your body. If your source of perception is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But if it is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. If your sense of perception is not healthy, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light with no part in the darkness, it will be as full of light as when a lamp gives you light with its rays. Interesting. If the way that you perceive the world, Jesus is using the eye, it's a pretty apt metaphor for most of us until they stop working. But you still have, you know, this woman I spent the day with yesterday, she still has a very keen sense of perception. She perceives the world around her just like I do. Not just like I do, but she does. She perceives the world around her in other ways that I don't. She sees the world in a way that I will never see the world. so it's the sense of perception. And so she has that body full of light just as I do. has nothing to do literally with your eye, but how we perceive the world. Now, here's an interesting, and I'm probably going to just zero in on this one verse for a long while now. It's verse 35. Therefore, consider whether the light in you is not darkness. Anybody else want to scratch their head for a minute? The light in me is darkness? Does he have his words right? Is there something lost in translation? How can your light be darkness? Maybe we would ask it this way. What is the quality of your light today? How's your light? How is your light today? Is it good? It's pretty good. Sometimes, my light's a little dull. My light is barely shining some days. My light is darkness. Ever? Do you ever have that? Yeah, I've had a few like that. Luckily, they're few and far between, but there are days when the light is not light, it's darkness. Maybe another way to say it is, how is your energy today? My energy is light. It's vibrant. It's full of life. Other times, how is your energy today? My energy is dark. It's dull. You guys probably know, right? When my energy is dull, you can probably sense it. Pick it up. What's wrong with Paul's light today? This whole thing, this song, I love that we sang the, we did that on purpose. We sang a reprise of the prayer because a lot of you weren't here last week. You were the smart ones that stayed home in snow and zero, sub-zero temperatures. But this song, the prayer, we pray you'll be our eyes and watch us where we go. We pray we'll find your light. I had a hardest time singing that line. I kept saying, we pray you'll find your light, which didn't make any sense, but you didn't hear that. We pray we'll find your light. We pray we'll find your light and hold it in our hearts. This reminded me of an old Quaker phrase. I don't know if you know much about the Quakers. I'm kind of fascinated with the Quakers. They're a dying breed of Christians in this country that very much were part of the founding of our country. And they have some really unique things. They're known for their Quaker meetings, which mostly are in all silence. There's programmed Quakers nowadays, and they preach and do music like everyone else. But if you go to 42nd Street in Des Moines to the meeting house, the Quaker meeting house, on Sunday morning, you'll sit in silence for an hour. And when the Spirit moves them, they'll speak. So there's some speaking as directed by the Spirit, but their sense of quiet, they're a peace church. They're always working for peace and justice. The Friends Peace Committee does a lot of great things around the world. They also have this phrase called holding the light. And they'll say things like, I'm holding you in the light. Have you ever had somebody say, I'm holding you in the light? It's their way of saying, I'm holding you in prayer. I'm bringing you into the presence of God. I've just made some notes about some of the way, and they use this word inward light. It refers to the power and inspiration of God or Christ coming inwardly to us to show us our true motivations and bringing us to unity with the Spirit. And then hopefully from there, acting in ways that are just and right for the world. It's also called the light within, which I think is the title of today's sermon. I didn't know that when I started working on that. Christ within, the light of Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the seed. And this one essay written by a Quaker who also studied the Orthodox Church compared it to the Orthodox understanding of uncreated light. I'd never heard of that. They speak of, back to the Transfiguration, and I may have made reference to this when I talked on Transfiguration Sunday. The Orthodox Church, really, that's kind of their sort of scriptural pivotal event in the life of Christ is the Transfiguration, even more than the Resurrection, because it shows Christ becoming this uncreated light. It's the actual presence of God. And that's, because that happened at the Transfiguration, that's actually more important than the Resurrection. So to hold somebody in the light is to ask God's presence to illumine a person. It means focusing on that of God in each person. If I'm holding you in the light, I'm holding that which is God in you in the light. And you might think of, if they're ill, for example, if somebody's ill, like all the people we just kind of lifted up in prayer or having surgery, that maybe it's as if their inner energy is running low, like embers in a fire, and that they're nearly out. And holding them in the light is like fanning the flame of God within them. Isn't that a beautiful image? I like that. So it's something that we do as we hold people in the light. We hold them in prayer. We bring them into sort of God's presence. But really, it's not up to us. It's up to God to fan the flame, the ember, and to bring it back into light. So that's a beautiful piece. So this whole sense of, and again, I marvel at a first century Jewish peasant, carpenter, healer, preacher, using these images. And here 2,000 years later, we have this scientific understanding of what light is, and we're even still mystified by it. Is it a particle? Is it a wave? Is it both? and the truth of it still rings true, that we have this light within us, this energy. And it's the same thing. Its source is God, and we are connected to God through that light. So it makes sense that we would want to do things to fan the flame of that light. So this is one of the ways. On Wednesday night, we're exploring ways to pray. This is the one of the ways that we'll explore on Wednesday, is praying with the light. What does it mean to hold the light and to fan the flame? Then we move on to this short piece about the Pharisees. Meanwhile, when the crowd gathered by the thousands so that they trampled one another, he began to speak first to his disciples. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, that is, their hypocrisy. So beware of the hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. What you say in the dark will be proclaimed in the light, and what you have whispered will be shouted from the mountaintops. Is that a promise or a threat? Kind of my reaction. What? It's a little bit of both, I think. It's interesting, in Luke's gospel, Jesus also uses yeast in a positive way. This is not a positive image of yeast. But he has one of these kingdom parables. The kingdom of God is like a woman who takes the dough of her bread and she puts in yeast and it rises and it becomes 2-3 times larger, right? It's sort of this sense that what happens in the dark or what's this hidden presence of God that makes things grow, the kingdom of God. That's not exactly the image that we get here. But it's along the same lines. It's that there's some unseen, hidden thing at work here. And if it's not of God, if it's hypocrisy, then that's not a good thing. What happens when we work with rumor and suspicion and we put our own worst thoughts about ourselves or others into practice and we secretly put them into the recipe of bread that we're making, then the bread that we come up is sour and not in a good way, like sourdough bread. We sour the world with our secrets and our gossiping and our talking and backbiting, all the sort of negative things. I'm wrapping it all into sort of one lovely recipe of disaster, right? What happens in the dark when you're trying to hide who you really are? So this is an invitation to us to live in the light, right? So we not just hold the light, but we live in the light. We say what we think. We say what needs to be said. We let other people speak their piece. We say it openly. We don't say it behind closed doors. We don't whisper it. We don't hide it, right? This is an invitation at what Jesus is inviting us into is to be a community of light and a source of light for the world, right? If you want the darkness, you can go out there any day. Just turn on your CNN or, you can pick your network. There's 1,000 networks of darkness, right, where this is going on. And it's just not. It's not who we are. It doesn't feed us. It doesn't bring light into the world. but we can be a community where we say no to that and yes to something else. Let's say yes to being open and honest in our communication. Let's just say it out loud. Because eventually it's going to be proclaimed from the rooftop, right? So let's just say it now and say it honestly. I don't think it's I don't think it's a threat so much as it's a promise. Yeah. To live in the light. Hold the light. Hold people in the light. Fan the flame of the embers. Let the light grow. And live in the light. That's our invitation to God today. Thanks be to God.